feel like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and welcome back to Disclosed by the YYY Files. This is the B-side, so go back and listen to the A-side if you haven't heard the first half of this interview with Jonty Sargent, and I really implore you to do so. I think Jonty is a wonderful bloke. Many of you will know him off the radio and maybe on screen with Stoke City as well, but many of you won't know his story from before that, or even half the stuff that he gets up to, and he talks a lot about that in the first half of this interview, so go back and listen to the first half if you haven't already. If you have, be ready to enjoy just as good a second half. He talks about all sorts of things. Quickfire's back, of course, for Disclosed, and people seem to like Quickfire, so yeah, we'll make sure we keep including that. It's a good one as well this time around. Don't forget, you can be on the show just like Jonty by heading to the YYYFiles.com or getting contacts on social media at the YYYFiles or send an email to the YYYFiles@mail.com. All those links are in the podcast description, and yeah, let's jump back in and pick up where we left off. Hey up, and welcome back to Disclosed, in which we're talking to Jonty Sargent. How are you, mate?
I'm not bad. You?
I'm good. Midway through lockdown. Frustrating for everybody, frustrating for me, but yes.
It'll get better.
It will get
better. Things will only get better, don't worry.
Oh, God. Don't get my hopes up. Well, they will. I mean, we're talking to you, so I'm not too displeased at that. And you come back for a second time, so I'm
definitely not. Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, God. Well,
I'm joking.
Oh, bless you. Well, let's make it worth your while then, in that case. So, as we broke up last time, I asked you a question. I'll pose it to you again. I said, picture the scene. You get a gig with the Premier League to interview Lionel Messi, who's signed for Manchester City on a free transfer. The chat's going well until you ask him something that annoys him incredibly. The world's greatest footballer has just stormed off in your interview. What do you do? Now, you've had plenty of time to think about it. I don't know whether you actually have, but what would you do in that circumstance? I don't really know.
I'd probably turn back to camera and just wrap it up and just say how it is. I think a lot of, especially media-wise and TV, more so than radio, I can probably get away with putting my feet up and the occasional hangover, let's say. But on TV, it's all, everything is out there. Nobody can miss a trick because someone will tweet you about it within half a second. And the same when it comes to the player, not just the person doing the interview. I think you just have to accept it for what it is.
Yeah.
Say exactly what's happened and move on, I guess. And I can't remember the interviewer who does a lot for Sky Sports, but will ask quite difficult questions and will actually continue to ask them the more uncomfortable that the person gets. And in a way, you know, the footballer is only human at the end of the day. So if they don't want to answer the question, that looks bad on them more so than the person asking the question. So just ask it. If it doesn't go well, you've probably not outed somebody, but made it seem to camera and to the wider audience who that person actually is. And that's sometimes just as good a scoop as what the reply to the question could have been.
You know what? That's a fair point. I guess it says a lot more about them than it does about you to some extent. Whether affects you and your career, I mean, who knows? But
probably.
It'd be an interesting one. I don't think that anything had happened to him off the back of a TV interview, but it's just an interesting one. I don't see it happen very often, but I have seen managers storm off.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's funny. It's quite understandable at times as well, because I've known managers and failed managers as well who've now finished managing and decided to go down a different path, and whether that's agency stuff, scouting or whatever a lot of them tend to do. It's a horrendous job to take at times. Horrendous. But if your back's up against the wall for a month upon end, the job of a manager is huge. So I'm not surprised at all that I would have blown my top many, many a time, trust me.
I always think that the bravest players are the ones that turn up after a 5-0 loss.
Yeah.
Or maybe the most stupid, to be fair. I know that Kevin Wimmer turned out for Stoke after a 7-2 loss and
turned around, I remember that.
Played for Spurs. Like, yeah. Well, that's not what we were after, Kevin.
No.
Bless him. Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. So, last time on Disclosed with Lee, we did some quickfire questions. He said he really enjoyed them. I did too. Hopefully, everybody else that listened did as well. So, we'll go from again. I've got the same ones from last time for some.
Okay.
I've mixed it up for a couple of them, obviously being personal to you more. So, we'll start off. Oatcakes or Wright's pie?
Oatcakes.
Oatcakes? What'd you have on them?
Cheese and beans. Cheese and bacon. Sometimes sausage and cheese. Nice. Sometimes throw in the beans if I'm feeling extra, extra out there.
Yeah, fair. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bacon and cheese or sausage and cheese.
Sounds nice. Sounds good. Okay. Breakfast, afternoon, or evening show on the radio?
Ooh. Can I say... Oh, different cases.
Yeah.
The best one that I did as a whole would be breakfast, purely because it's your primetime show. You can have a, you know, your audience is often at its biggest at that stage. That it's busy, so there's not a lot of downtime. So it's quite a fun show. You get a lot of interaction. Mm. However, if you're after an easy life, go and do mid-mornings. Go and do a show 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. I remember quite a while ago, I used to cover mids, and it's surreal just how much time you get in a day, because you can have a lazy lie-in. You can get up at about just after 9 o'clock or whatever. You can be in the studio for 20 to 10, just bang out a straightforward music show of just this is what. It's not the biggest audience. There's not so much going on. It's not as busy as drive time where you're doing travel and all that sort of stuff. But then you're done at like lunch and you can walk down to the chip shop. Absolutely fine. And then you've got literally the whole afternoon or evening to go at. So a toss up between those two.
I'll tell you what, if anybody's trying to get into radio, there you go. You've got
just go for mids. Go for mids. Someone offers you, just go for mids. Genuinely.
There you go then. There's your bit of insight you didn't know.
Exactly.
Let's see. Okay. You have to give up one forever. Presenting video or presenting radio?
Presenting radio.
Oh, sad. Why is that? Why more TV then or video?
Probably two reasons. First reason is probably the industries are at complete polar opposite stages. Radio is a dying breed, shall we say. Bigger companies are networking pretty much everything, which was why my choice was to not go down the music. And when I was at Capital Manchester for a bit, it's just so short-lived. Local radio is certainly, in commercial sense, is almost non-existent now. And then on the other side, TV is flourishing. YouTube is now its own network. So if you wanted your own series, you can literally go and do it. If you can get sponsors for it, it pays you. You can literally turn that into whatever you want. You could argue the same with podcasts. Podcasts are absolutely massive, e.g. yourself with this. That whole digital era as a whole is probably bigger than anybody ever anticipated, with podcasts and YouTube and everything. I watch now is catch up. I never watch anything live. But then there's the enjoyability side of it. I love doing the TV stuff and being out, and whether it's presenting on stage or doing gigs, DJing or whatever else, that's a lot more interactive and personable. You can often see people, whereas radio, a lot of the time you kind of sat in a box a little bit.
Yeah, this is true.
But yeah, so if I was to give one up, I would probably give up radio going forward, although it's obviously been massive for me in the past and what I owe everything to.
I mean, it's a hard question, to be fair. I had very difficult, Ben. Yeah, I'm sorry, mate, but this is what it's there for. Okay, who'd win? Pulis's Promotion Heroes or Hughes's Stoke Alona?
Oh, that's the toughest question.
not heard them all yet, mate.
I want to say it, but I don't want to say it, purely because I was on the phone to Clive Clark earlier today, and he was watching Premier League Years, which is obviously one of the world's best ever TV shows. You just sit and watch goals all day. And it was Shaqiri's chip against Everton. And that just makes me think, we were talking about the great football of Arnautovic and Shaqiri and so on. And that just makes me think Hughes's Stoke Alona. Although in the back of your mind you're thinking the fight and the passion of Pulis's Promotion boys, they'd be up against it, put it that way.
Yeah,
I'm sticking my hat on Hughes's Stoke Alona.
Yeah, to be fair, Lee said the other one, but I must admit,
well, Lee wouldn't
he would exactly. But to be fair, I think we have seen the old Stoke get picked apart by even the best teams. So there's no reason why not.
Yeah, and likewise, Hughes' side at the same time could be torn apart by a rough and ready Burnley, yes, which yeah. it'd be a very, very difficult match, put it that way.
It'd be a good one. Luckily, we won't have to see it. okay. Would you rather be the agent of a cool customer or a fiery hothead?
Cool customers are less hassle.
That's very true.
But hotheads can be more fun.
You don't know what you're going. Yeah.
No, I'm going cool customer.
You are?
Yeah, okay. 100%.
Easy life. See?
Yeah, easy life. And with a cool customer, you're never really worried about them going out on a Friday night and doing X, Y, Z. You're not worried about them annoying the manager. So you're kind of hoping for a straightforward upwards career. Although a lot of managers do quite like a hothead with a bit of character.
Yeah.
But yeah, from the agent's perspective, definitely someone who doesn't require a great deal.
Yeah. There you go. Mid-mornings and cool customers. I think we're getting a sense of...
Take that all day bacon and cheese oatcakes. Not a problem.
Let's see. Whiskey or Guinness?
Whiskey.
Yeah?
Yeah, whiskey. My dad's a good whiskey drinker. Funnily enough, I got him a couple of whiskeys last night.
Oh, nice. See, I'm not a fan of either. But yeah, I think I'd take the whiskey.
Yeah, you have to be in a specific mood, though, for a whiskey. Like, that's quite harsh. Mm. But me and my girlfriend, we went to Dublin last year. Was it last year? Yeah, I think it was last year. Yeah, it was my birthday last year.
And this year it was, to be fair.
Hopefully every year going forward. I've never been into Guinness. So if it was any choice, I would be anything other than, probably.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the right time for a whiskey, and mine is normally about 3 a.m.
That might be you tonight.
Well, yes, good point. depends how long I'm back at it in this for. Let's see. If you could interview any Stoke player, of past or present, who would it be? Gotcha.
That is difficult. Spoke to most of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably maybe more time with Michael Owen.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I guess his time here was a bit of an enigma, and he's done a lot as well.
Yeah, maybe more time with Michael Owen. I spoke to Michael Owen briefly at a show jumping event, of all things. But when he was at Stoke, I think I did his press conference, and that was about it.
Was he as boring as people say he is?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, when Michael listens back to this, I'm sure he'll be gutted.
But like I say, there is, I think, since with a lot of players, when they're kind of playing and their mind isn't on that kind of football, but when they turn pundit, they open their mind up. They're coached a lot of times to speak more. And to kind of give a little bit more back, and they understand the importance of the kind of media and the interviewer and things like this. So now I think he would be a lot better and would understand more. So, because at the time, like he obviously achieved so much with Liverpool, United, Real Madrid, so on and so forth, being through so much as a player with injuries, you kind of wouldn't have a stone left unturned of things that he's been through and kind of done it. And I think nowadays he would probably be a lot more forthcoming. So yeah, probably Michael Owen.
Michael Owen. Good shout. One I wouldn't have even considered being a Stoke player, actually, but he is the only player I've ever got on the back of a replica shirt. So
right. Must have done something right then.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I just heard of him at the time.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Wet, windy Tuesday or a sunny 3 p.m. Saturday?
Sunny 3 p.m. Saturday.
Yeah, Lee said that as well, I guess, because it's just so cold.
Oh, I was on the phone to one of our players earlier on today. After he finished training, we were talking, and he's going, oh, I got Carl out of the way in a week on Tuesday. I'm going, yeah, I'm glad we're not going to games now.
Yeah.
But yeah, something special about even international breaks and stuff, it gets in the way, and there's nothing quite like the Saturday and the whole match day experience, whether it's as a fan, someone in the media, so playing staff, coaching staff, whatever. I remember my favourite Saturdays would be when you go to an away game. I always used to sneak one of my friends in to matches with me. And he'd literally he's a Stoke fan, so he'd literally just sit there and enjoy the game while I'm doing the radio, and he'd spend all 90 minutes putting me off. but you'd have a nice drive down to wherever, do the game, hopefully ends up in a good resort, and then get back to the Orange Tree for about 9 o'clock. Everyone's out, a few beers, and whole world's your oyster.
Happy days.
And yeah, that those are the days that I miss at a minute with the situation as it is. But match day and then a cheeky few afterwards is that's my tipple.
My weekends are just not the same. Like,
no, I think that's what people have probably underestimated, those who don't understand the importance of football and the amount of people who will just say it's a game, it's part of life, it's this, that and the other. It's not, it's a lot more than that. It's a ritual to a lot of people. It's their life, it's their main interest. People will sit on the oatcake, for example, every single evening talking football with friends just with that one view to Saturday, and it has taken a massive chunk of people's lives at the minute, and that's something that should be really considered really, really important.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think a lot of people who listen to this will sympathise with that. A lot of them don't even get to go to many games because they live, you know, nowhere near Stoke. But I think the ones that they do go to, they treasure. Even just looking forward to going, if it's months in advance. And
1,000,000%. And even if it's just a matter of the fact that you're sitting watching your phone, you're watching scores come in, it's something that kind of takes you away from everyday life, and you can get lost in the emotion, the passion of it. I know generic football fans, which is I know something ridiculous to believe, but they do exist, and they don't follow one club, but just they love watching a game of football, or they love watching Gillette Soccer Saturday and watching the goals come in and the pace of it all, the passion, the excitement, and that's what I know a lot of people have really missed during this pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. I miss it plenty. Else do as well. Hopefully it's back sooner rather than later. But then I guess that's
well, at least the international break's getting out of the way.
Well, I was gonna say, yeah, we're not a fan of international breaks on this podcast. We don't even talk about the game. But
no,
screw international breaks. Like, especially when your players get COVID or injured as well.
This is what I mean. Liverpool fans at the minute must be absolutely spewing.
Yeah,
Henderson goes down with a knock. Robertson's injured, I think. Salah goes away, picks up COVID. In that case.
And then Brian Shawcross and Jack Butland.
Yeah, James McLean comes back.
Career's ruined off it.
Yeah, exactly. McLean comes back with COVID, so he's missing. So yeah, and I know Jose Mourinho wasn't too fond of it earlier on this afternoon with his post on Instagram.
Yeah.
But yes, especially now, I would have thought they would have moved it. Would have been the sensible option. You ban international travel, and yet you let footballers travel internationally, which is absolutely ridiculous. If they've not had a back-to-back season with not much time off as it is, throwing that into the mix is just absolutely stupid. Really is.
Very, very much so. Right, that's the end of Quickfire. Maybe not as quickfire as I thought it would be, but quickfire nonetheless. It was good. You didn't dodge any. I'm impressed.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Take that. I quite enjoy quickfire.
That's that quick thinking on the radio.
Exactly.
It's all a practice, mate. Speaking of which, so this is me moving on now into you looking back on your time, I think, and you in the present day now. The first question, I'm going to open it up, and it is a difficult one because this is more looking back. What's the best experience you think you've had with the work you've done?
Oh, that is tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
Because there's going to be a few for different reasons, right?
Yeah.
What have you been most proud of, do you think?
I don't know. Weirdly enough, I was asked this about a week ago.
Mm.
And again, I've never been one to kind of sit and go, oh, I'm really thrilled with that, because I do that at the very end, or you know, you kind of, to me, everything that I've done is just almost stepping stones in a way, and like you're still yet to get to that one big thing that you kind of been looking to, or that's where you want to be, or X, Y, Z. But maybe obviously doing the stuff with Pele,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Lumo did the gig down at Chelsea Battersea. We had him on a couple of shows, so that was obviously massive. But like I say, I've never been one who gets kind of starstruck, I guess, at the time or whatever. But then you do, that is one way you think back and go, Jesus Christ, that's Pele.
Yeah.
Like, I know, God knows what he was counting all of his goals on, but like he is who he is. And yeah, that's obviously huge. The concerts that we do, I did V Festival with OK Magazine, which is pretty cool when you look back at
very
it.
Very cool.
Festivals and concerts are really, really good fun. It's difficult kind of come down after doing a couple of days on stage and you're doing a 30,000 people event or whatever it may be.
And then you come home and you've got to listen to your mum shout out.
Yeah, exactly.
Washing up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, those kind of things. I think we had record figures on breakfast, which we were obviously really proud of. The charity stuff as well.
Yeah.
That kind of feel. Like I say, I've been absolutely rubbish at kind of taking things in as they come along, because I always look at, say, Lewis Hamilton yesterday or whenever it was over the weekend, becoming the all-time greatest Formula One racing driver. And I don't know why, but I always try and compare myself to people like that, and that is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. But that's where, I don't know, that kind of edge of competitivity comes out that you want to be. And I don't know how on earth you compare myself to Lewis Hamilton or whatever, but that's where I kind of set the stall out of level of achievement in a way.
It's just that hunger of wanting more, and I think to keep progressing, you've got to have that vision, because otherwise you'll just be happy where you are.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I won't be happy until maybe you have your own TV show on XYZ, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's those kind of things. But yeah, I've been absolutely crap at kind of stepping back and taking things in a little bit. And that's where you lose your head a little bit.
Do you think that, giving the start that you had, do you think you'd have ever been able to do the things that you have done?
No, and that's probably the important thing, that when you do have kind of down days or you're stressed over this, that, and the other, it's probably important to kind of check yourself a little bit and look back. But like I say, I always, whenever you tick one box, you're always looking at that one box that's miles and miles away in the future. So you kind of forget to take in the boxes that you are ticking off, and you're probably right in saying that you do just need to take a step back, no matter what walk of life you're in, no matter what goals you're setting yourself, just to take in each and every single one. A friend of mine put on his Instagram story today that he got sub 22 minutes 5K that he ran, and that was one of his targets on his vision board that he's got. And I thought, you know what, that's absolutely brilliant. Like, self-improvement, fantastic. But that for somebody else may be really, really slow. But then that for somebody else may be the absolute dream that they would even think of doing 5K in sub 22 minutes. So it's all about being relative, I guess. But yeah, I've been dreadful at doing that over the years.
Yeah. Well, to me, I see the opposite of ambition as being grateful. And I think you've got to have both in equal measure to some extent. It is difficult to do that.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. Great way.
For example, like, so I had back surgery last year, which was like tough. And a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you talk about running a 5K, I was able to run one in under, I think, half an hour. Now, that's not as good as the thing you just said, but I was really pleased with that, given where I could have been. However, I want to be doing things like Tough Mudders next year and things like that, you know.
I think that's just human spirit as well.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Sort of being ambitious, but at the same time looking back and going, Christ, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But there you go. Speaking of which, given everything you've done, what's the biggest thing you think you've learned from it all?
Just to be nice.
Yeah.
Just to be nice. I've probably been right. I know a lot of people who can be quite cutthroat in a way, or they go about things in a, let's say if it was you versus another presenter or you versus another footballer who gets to be played or whatever, that kind of ruthlessness, but they can be a bit of a, can I swear on this?
Yeah, I'd say what you want, mate.
They can be a bit of a dick in the way they go about it. And I always believe in that kind of bad karma in a way.
Yeah.
And I've always believed in, you never burn a bridge, no matter what walk of life, no matter what has happened to you. I've never been one to hold grudges. I don't hold any negativity, just negative people piss me off no end. I'd always say just to be nice and be kind. Like I say, I've worked in very industries where you are out there. And I've had some shit on Twitter. Like, I've had a lot. But then, weirdly, funnily enough, I've had that person who tweets me saying that. They then, in a roundabout way, come back and say, oh, you were right, or sorry about, or whatever it is. But as long as you are nice and you carry yourself correctly and with kindness and approachability and whatever else, I always think it will help you rather than hinder you, whereas anything else could quite do the opposite.
I understand that. I always think, I mean, you mentioned sort of negative comments from people, whether it's to your face or it's on social media or whatever.
On social media.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never
to your face.
No.
Because I think sometimes you need that bit of empathy to go, well, why has that person said that? Maybe they're just frustrated. Maybe they just don't agree with what you said or whatever.
And kind of the attitude of the worst thing I could think happening to somebody is making somebody else feel like they're not good enough. And that's in any walk of life. And no matter how small somebody's achievement, if they ring you up and going, I've just done this. Oh my God, I've just done this. If you don't pat them on the back, like, you are just a knob. I always remember when I was at school originally, we were playing football and somebody wanted to come over and play football, and I told them they couldn't play football, and I felt dreadful. I felt absolutely awful, and ever since then I could never ever be mean or nasty to someone ever.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell someone that they couldn't be involved. And my mum and my brother, funnily enough, came up with a great saying earlier on last week, which was, be the person that your dog thinks you are. And I think that is just perfect. Because the way that your dog looks at you, you think you'd have bloody got a Nobel Peace Prize, or you just, I don't know. But if you always remember that in the back of your mind, that you'll never do anything wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I love that.
You can take that. You keep that one.
I will keep that one. All right. So one question before I move into a little bit more Stoke, perhaps, is disclose something that very few people know about what you do. Maybe something behind the scenes that you go like, oh, I didn't realize that this happened when I entered this industry.
Probably the rush of kind of football agency and how timelines change. Because like you say, as a listener or a fan or whatever, that whole idea of the transfer window, it's just nuts, because you quite clearly, most people just think, well, if someone's interested, they make the offer and that's it. But there is so much that goes into a transfer, and the process of getting, which is the importance of agents, because for somebody to go in the summer, the interest may start in December, November, October, or the agent is already touting around the player's name to say, oh, so-and-so, he's going to be starting left wing. I've noticed XYZ may be struggling there, or whatever it may be. Or you actually start reaching out to scouts, director of footballs, managers, just to say, look, so-and-so, he's absolutely flying this year. He's more than able to cut it. And then they send a scout to come over and watch it. They then do their reports. And then it goes back to the manager or whoever makes the decision. And it can take about 6 or 7 months within the one season. And sometimes you go, well, we'll look at it next campaign or whatever. But then on the other hand, in terms of deadline days and stuff, that is legit. That is real. Like, people will clubs will struggle, and they can't get their first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth choice over the line. And then all of a sudden, they're left with two players who they've not scouted for in the past 6 months. They've got one report on them in the last game they played against Brighton or whatever. And they just have to go, are we doing it? And it's a yes or a no. And then, yeah, it is just a mad, ridiculous rush to kind of get stuff done. But yeah, the way clubs do business can be just ridiculous at times. I know a couple of clubs in London have used in the past purely algorithms.
Oh my God.
On signing a player, which is just ridiculous.
Wow.
But it has literally just been a certain age bracket, certain percentages, certain statistics on XYZ, certain things, and a data analysis will go, yeah, him. And then they will conduct business off the back of that.
You know that's some kid on Football Manager.
Literally. honestly, no joke, clubs use Football Manager at times. Whereas, obviously, you'd much rather... That to me doesn't say body language. That to me doesn't say, does he turn his back to the manager? That to me doesn't say, is he more bothered about his hair or pulling his socks down or whatever it may be, or personality off the pitch, or can you have a dinner meeting with him and his family, or her and her family, whatever it might be. there is so much that you miss from just doing stats, but legitimately clubs use it and clubs swear by it.
Yeah.
And it's just madness, absolutely madness.
And I think we've seen the impact of that down our club sometimes, for good and for bad, in fairness.
Yeah.
But yeah, rush transfers, I think, have been rife in the last couple of years, let's just say that.
And we'll leave it there.
yeah, exactly right. Speaking of which, then, so this is a Stoke City podcast, obviously. So I just want to touch on Stoke a bit and just ask you, as more of a neutral, perhaps, or a neutral point of view, what is Stoke's identity to you? What do you think Stoke is?
Well, I think it probably reflects the football club and the area to a degree, in saying that it is one of the kindest groups of people that you can possibly find, the salt of the earth characters that will give their last penny just to help somebody out. And we've seen that with the amount of charity work that, well, I know I've seen it firsthand with time at Signal, the Bring a Pound days and stuff like this is absolutely mind-blowing. The charitable side of the city is absolutely fantastic. And I think that reflects through the football club, the amazing work that the Community Trust do, Steve Hunt and everybody involved is brilliant with that side of the club, and giving back to the community is fantastic. I think that's what it's always been on the pitch as well. We are a gritty, determined, hard to beat kind of football team. And whether that's the old school way of the TP promotion party and stuff like this, or how we succeeded in the Premier League for so long before things probably changed a bit too drastically and almost imploded in a very short space of time. That would sum up who the kind of people of the area are, the football club. And, you know, make no mistake, it's a working class area, and the football club reflects that, and the players who are lucky enough to wear the shirt of Stoke City, as long as, I think every Stoke City fan will agree with this, as long as you give 100% for the football club, that's all anybody asks for. Mm. That's all anybody asks for. Which probably brings you to the point of progression and the next steps of Stoke City. And that's difficult, but it's a long process and needs to be considered well and done properly. I make no mistake, there may need to be some changes at the top end of the football club, which a lot of people, again, will probably agree with, to do it right. And to stop the kind of implosion that happened under Mark Hughes, shall we say. And I think Michael O'Neill is the right man in charge of the team, shall we say. And if things were to perhaps change around him and above him, then maybe the football club would be in a great place to go on and kick on and do what Tony did and hopefully survive in the Premier League for longer than 10 years.
It's interesting you say that, because I was literally just going to ask afterwards, where do you see Stoke in sort of 5 years' time if the changes that you're describing happen? And I'm not necessarily talking about Premier League. Yes, that'd be great, but
if changes happen, by all means, you kind of don't really have a ceiling when you're in Stoke's shoes in terms of the backing that they could have, the ownership that they have, the financial backing, things like this.
What about off the pitch? I mean, you do a lot with Stoke off the pitch. What do you think that they could do?
Off the pitch, I think. I always look at the kind of TV side of stuff, and I think it is maybe something that the club could look at to just give fans, especially now, to give fans that little bit extra. I know a lot of sides have their official TV channels and stuff like this, and it's a great way of A, running your match days, and you do a proper show on a match day type stuff. I know Wolves are very good at it. I know even the likes of Derby and stuff like this. They all have it, Salford have it, which I think would be a fantastic addition, not just for me to present it, obviously, but that I think would give a lot back to fans and would kind of help that PPV kind of attitude in a way of match passes. Well, actually, what you get for that match pass money and stuff like this, and you get the full show streamed, you get a full hour's build-up, you get a
like
full
boxing,
hour post-match.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you do more content during the week, which I think would be fantastic for the club to look at. I always like at kind of fan parks around the stadium. You know, can you add in a few more interactive areas with fans for fans to take part of. So it is that kind of match day experience, maybe. I know a lot of clubs are big on the match day experience where it's a full day. I think at Stoke at the minute, it's almost like go to the game, go home type stuff. Whereas I know even Hull have their kind of where you test your shooting and there's the board with the holes in and who wins and so on and all that sort of stuff. And stuff like that I think would be great and would go down well and would not be too costly, should we say?
Yeah, yeah.
So, stuff like that. But on the pitch, I think, yeah, world's the rooster. Michael's doing a brilliant job. Got some really good characters in there. Got some great young players, great young talent. With the right recruitment, who knows? This year, you're absolutely right to be looking upwards of 10th and hopefully playoffs and beyond.
I agree with that. And hopefully, as you said, the stuff off the pitch follows the stuff on the pitch. Because we've said about this a lot on this podcast, like there is potential there. And I know that the club are, like, especially in this time, I can quite understand concerned about their revenue stream and making money. But I think some of the changes would not incur such a big cost and might even make revenue for the club. And like I think there's some mutually beneficial ways for everybody to benefit from the match day experience, and I think you're right. I think there's more that needs to be done in that area. Hopefully it comes, but we'll see. Speaking of which, though, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I know that's a difficult question.
yeah. But that's difficult for you because you're in a lot of pies. I know that, and you might go into more than one thing. But where do you want to be? What do you want to do with yourself?
First and foremost, the agency stuff is going really well. So that's me, Clive Clark, Graham Kavanagh, Bonds and Gala, who used to play down south, a couple of the lads. I think we're in a really good place. So I think from that perspective is to grow as an agency. And we already look after plenty of players, but to keep that kind of level of progression going would be fantastic. And I think that goes hand in hand really well with the rest of the other stuff that I do. Within the next 5 years, I'd probably like to get a couple of the documentaries over the line that we're in talks to do/doing, and then hopefully that leads just to more. I think it'd be wrong for anyone to kind of go, well, I want to be there, when actually I think for a lot of people worldwide is to just stay doing what you're doing for the kind of next 12 months or retain employment, shall we say, for a lot of people, given the climate that we're in. Just to still be doing things that I love, and whether that's documentaries and the higher profile TV channels and stuff like that would be fantastic. And to keep that running alongside the agency stuff, which is going really well, then that would be ideal for me.
Yeah, I wish you all the best luck with everything, because I know it's tough out there. The industries are fluctuating all the time.
Thank you.
You said before you weren't so sure whether you knew that obvious thing of if someone asked something that you were proud of and you weren't sure if you had something that come to the front of mind instantly. I hope you find that in the next 5 years. I'm not saying that you haven't done things that you're not proud of, but I hope there's that one thing in the next few years that you go,
Thank you, man. I'm so glad
I've done that.
Appreciate it.
And that's it, really. So I always give a space at the end for people to discuss anything that we've not mentioned yet, if they want to say anything, give some shout outs if they like to. I know you mentioned before that you work with a couple of charities and associations and like, feel free to shout out those, but anything you want to say before the end.
Yeah, just obviously the fantastic work that the likes of, and I know, like you say, I work with a lot of charities, which hopefully I work with more charities in the future because I absolutely love doing it. But the fantastic work Alice Charity, Peter Pan Nursery, the North Staff's Carers are all doing at the minute. I know times, trust me, if you think times are hard for workplaces and personal employment and stuff, to try and keep charities going who are probably on that kind of under the radar, especially when we're in an area who do such great charity work for likes of Dougie Mack, Donna Louise and so on. These guys are really fighting hard for the people that they support. And as well, I'm presenting the University Hospital of North Midlands virtual Christmas appeal this Christmas, where instead, so obviously we would always go into hospitals at the end of the year around Christmas time, myself, a couple of the famous faces and so on, and give donations through gifts, and you go and see the kids. Obviously today's world, you can't do that. So what the UHNM charity are doing is asking people to donate virtually via text, and then they will arrange presents and gifts to be given to the people that they support. I'm pretty sure, if I remember my voiceover rightly, if you text Santa UHNM plus your number of donation, 5, 10 or 20, to 70450, then that would be fantastic to donate this Christmas. Because I know a lot of work has gone into ensuring that those people that they support are not left out this time at what would be such a generous kind of time of year, shall we say. So yeah, text Santa UHNM plus your number to 70450.
Well, what I'll do, if anyone's struggling, I'll leave that in the podcast description as well, so you can go down and take a look. That's just making sure that you've got that right, of course.
I'm looking at it now. Santa UHNM 5, 10 or 20 to 70450. And it launched actually today. So there will be plenty of surprises across UHNM Charity's social media by all accounts. So go and get involved.
Get involved. I think we spoke about before being ambitious and being grateful. This is something I always think when I think of stuff like that. I'd like, be grateful for where you are and actually think that there are people much, much worse off than where you are.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Especially in the middle of a pandemic.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Like, you could be really ambitious and say, look, I wish I could get a new job. I'm fed up with my job. I know a lot of people are. But yeah, quite right. There's worse out there. And hopefully, no matter what your situation, you can support things like that. Okay, I've got one final question before I let you go, mate.
Okay.
And you sort of know this is coming, and this is why you're saying, oh God.
Because I haven't thought about it.
That's the point. This is why I do it at the end, so that there's time to reflect back on what you've said and maybe do it now. So I'd like you to describe your story in 3 words for the title, please, mate.
Ooh. My story in 3 words.
Yeah. They don't have to be 3, like, separate
words.
No,
that's quite good.
Just a phrase.
Well, I don't know. My first thing that came to mind was Jesus Christ. How? I don't know, you know. What do you reckon?
Oh, see, now you won't know this. Or you might do, to be fair. I launched your first half of this, your A-side, yesterday. And what I realized is, so I always ask for people for titles at the end of the podcast, and I realized that, oh damn, of course I didn't ask for a title halfway through the podcast and I released it. So I went with Easy 20 Quid for your first.
Yeah.
Yeah, relating back to your the Easy 20 Quid you made reading out the lineup.
Oh,
before
yeah,
a game.
Yeah. So, nice, clever, like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I always have to try to be clever, mate, when I mess up like that.
Nice.
But yeah, and let's think. I said you've done a lot.
Yeah.
It's a mess, to be fair. But
it is.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anything niche? I mean, you said Jesus Christ, how? That's a pretty good one.
Because I do kind of know how in a way.
Because you actually worked hard.
Yeah. Surprisingly, yeah, I did a bit. That might work, actually. Surprisingly, I did a bit.
Surprisingly, I did it. Do you want that?
But at the same time, I don't think I did it yet.
Welfare. How about surprisingly doing it?
Yeah, that'll do.
Yeah? Take you that. Are doing it. I know you're not done yet. You've got plenty more to do. But surprisingly, you are doing it.
Surprisingly doing it. That'll do.
Surprisingly doing it. We'll leave it with that. Thank you ever so much for your time. Normally, I'd do the outro with you in it, but I know that you've got a busy evening to get back to, so I will let you do that. Thank you ever so much for giving up your time. Being so honest as well. Not like not just about you, but about Stoke. And like honestly, I've really enjoyed this chat. I know so many other people will have as well. Thank you ever so much for coming on.
Top man. No, it's been a pleasure, mate. I really appreciate you having me on as well. So no, anytime.
Thank you ever so much. I'll let you go. Thank you, mate.
Top man. No worries, man.
And with that, that's closed this edition of Disclosed. Firstly, I want to thank Jonty again for coming on and sharing his story. As I said before, I think he was really honest, really kind to come back on twice. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed talking to him. I hope you enjoyed listening to him. Just a reminder that this platform relies on people like you to come and get involved so that I can do more interviews like this, and there's loads of ways for you to do so. Whether you want to share your own Stoke City story and create your file, whether you think you could create a podcast dedicated to your Stoke City hero, or whether you know or want to hear from a Stoke City personality such as Jonty that you might want to appear undisclosed. To get involved with any of these shows, head to the website and click Get Involved, or send a message to at the YYYpals on social media, or an email to the YYYpals@mail.com. All those links are in the podcast description. I can understand if you don't want to do any of that, though. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to hear more, subscribe on your favourite podcast platform and go back and listen to our previous content if you haven't already. But most importantly, tell your friends about the show. And there's some stuff coming up for Christmas. I won't give too much away, but the plans are in the works. And I've spoke to a couple of people who will enable me to do the things that I want to do for a Christmas episode. Very different to what I normally do. Very different from last year, and yeah, this one should generate quite a bit of excitement, I hope. I don't want to give too much away, but now that I've said it on air, I've got to go through with the plan. So keep up to date with that. Come and find us on social media at the YYYfiles, or send an email to the YYYfiles@mail.com. Again, all those links are in the podcast description. That just leaves me to say one more time, thank you very much for listening, and until the next one, don't forget, it could be your fault one day. Please need support to you.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
Far away from the wild goose chase, my shoulders are so rigid lately, you think I've been wearing a neck brace. If it's all part of the show, will you throw me my next line? I don't wanna end up as the donkey's arse in this pantomime.